Okay, so I will not make the introductions. I will allow my fellow panelists, who are also very good friends, to introduce themselves. So maybe I'll start with Ihan.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Ihan, and I'm the director of Shipping Finance Department in the Bank of China Financial Leasing. So for those of you who are not familiar with our company, Bank of China Financial Leasing is the youngest major leasing house in China, and our shareholder is Bank of China Group. And I'll give you a detailed introduction later on when we enter the discussion stage. Thank you.
China.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be invited here. And I'm Charlie Cai, and Cai Zichu, and from OCOM Leasing, Bank of Communication Financial Leasing. And we was born a little bit earlier than Ihan's company, and some of the people may mess around with Bank of China and Bank of Communications. Basically, we are the five biggest state-owned banks, and we started our shipping business, probably everybody knows that, about like 13, 14 years ago, and the current portfolio in shipping sector is one of the dominant sector in the total portfolio of BOCOM Leasing, and I would like to share some of my perspective this day with Chris and my fellow peers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Zhang.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Zhang Jia. I'm the Deputy General Manager of Ship Leasing Department of China Development Bank Leasing Company. I'm pleased to be here today and to meet some old friends and no new friends. Thank you.
And last but not least, Yang Yi.
Hi, hello everyone. I'm Yang Yi. I worked for China Merchant Bank Financial Leasing for around 10 years. And I currently work as the managing director of our shipping finance department. And I also work as the head of our Greek and UK team. Since 2014, we have started our international shipping finance business. And among several years' development, our clients cover different sectors in about our top-tier clients. And our current portfolio is around $10 billion. My team focuses on the Greek and the UK, and we have cooperated with the top 9 ship owner among the top 10 Greek ship owner, and we would like to expand our kind of relationship with the Greek ship owner. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will not make any introduction. I just want to say a few words before I start asking the questions. First of all, it's fantastic to be back here in Shanghai. What is amazing is to see this time around is the number of people that have traveled from across the globe. So it looks like we're back to the good old days of 2017-18. And it's a testament to the strength of this market and, you know, the strength of the leasing companies and other financiers which provide financing options to a number of people across the globe. In fact, I thought for a minute that maybe I'm attending a conference in Athens, because there are so many people from the Greek market. So it was anyway. And it's a few years ago, I personally had a few question marks as to whether you know, the sector, the Chinese leasing sector, would continue to grow, would continue to achieve the same numbers of growth compared to the recent past. And I wasn't very optimistic, mostly because of the fact that the owners were cash rich. But I can assure you that is not the case. We have been extremely busy. The people next to me have been extremely busy. We know this because we've been working with them the past couple of years. So that's quite impressive. And I'm here to understand why is this the case. From time to time, I'll be wearing the ship owner hat, and I'll try to ask some questions that the ship owner would be asking my fellow panelists. So I'd like to start by asking Charlie first, Mr. Jia. Why? I mean, We are in October, mid-October, end of October rather. We do have a couple of months left. I know that for a leasing company, the financial year starts from January till December. Do you still have a bit of room for more projects until the end of the year?
Thank you, Chris. Firstly, I want to follow up with your words about there are many guests travel from other cities, other countries to Shanghai, and I want to thank you for all for contribute to the economy recovery of Shanghai and China. Thank you very much. And for your question about the capacity remain for the following one quarter time. And firstly, I want to mention in front of you about the background of financial leasing companies. The financial leasing companies in China has special definition, and we are well regulated by the National Financial Regulatory of Administration, aka NFRA. And not unlike those industrial corporation sponsored companies, we have very strict norms we have to follow, including, for instance, like coverage ratio, capital adequacy ratio, etc. things. So the fourth quarter of a year is critical to all the financial leasing companies who are seated here. And we have to optimize the performance, especially the financial performance of the company by the end of this year. So the capacity, especially the new investment in shipping sector matters. And another background is in China, according to the accounting policy, we will distinguish finance lease and operating lease in different ways of accounting solutions. So when you refer to some of the norms we have to follow, finance lease matters. The regulator will ask for some of the norms to be related to finance lease. So in some of the words, for example, for our company, probably we will have some small room for finance lease because we want to optimize our car, especially for instance, for finance lease, we also have to charge provisions before the end of this year. Not operating lease. So in general, take our company as an example. We will have some space, some growth space for operating lease, but not as many space as for finance lease.
Thank you. No, one word for next year. Do you think that your budget is going to be as big as last year's? The target keeps moving on, or?
I think the answer is affirmative. For 2024, we can almost predict our annual growth for the shipping portfolio. By the end of third quarter, the new increment of shipping asset has mounted to almost $21 billion in total, and for the new increase for this year is about $5 billion, which can be as a historically high for Bocom Leasing. And the increment for next year will maybe subject to this year's budget. And as a routine for financial institutions in China, unless there's some market fluctuation or market letdown, basically we are following a very consistent growth ratio every year. So this year's growth will reflect on the next year's large budget, for Bocom Leasing. And I hope everybody and the ship owners come to Bocom Leasing to have a deep conversation about that. Okay, thank you very much.
Wow, your colleagues and yourself are going to be even more busy next year. I see. Yang Yi, any room for this year, and how about next year?
To be honest, we haven't done our work proper while compared with Bocom leasing, because we are always be ready to assist our shipping client to have the new drawdown for this year and also for the next year. In fact, we have committed several new deals with our existing client to have the drawdown to be happened at the end of this year. But for another thing I want to mention is that if our client try to negotiate with us at this point of time, normally speaking, even if for the repeated deals, we still need at least 1 or 2 months to arrange the drawdown. So hopefully, I think most of our new drawdown will be happened at the early of next year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. For me, it's October now, so I don't think we have enough time for the new deals. But we still have some project to be drawn down by the end of this year. For the exact number, sorry, I cannot disclose that. You know, we are public companies. But I think we will make a record this year. Yeah. How about the budget next year? If the market keep just not surprising happened, I think we will keep the same for the next year. Yeah, around the $1.5 billion, I guess. Thank you.
Okay. So I left you last, not because that I should be asking you last, but because you are effectively the new kid on the block in terms of the leasing houses. Although you're a very experienced team, you've worked in the industry for so long. Do you have any room left for this year, or is your focus on next year?
Yeah, and first of all, I wish to say thank you for the CapLink, and also we had we called China-Greece ship trade event hosted last Friday in our Shanghai branch. And it's good to see some of our friends to appear to be present in this CapLink again. And speaking about the questions Chris just mentioned, because it's just merely 2 months away till the year end, and also we have the Western holiday season upcoming. So I doubt the time and the efficiency point of view maybe it's not appropriate to have the transaction concluded within these two months. But of course, it's the window is always open, and we are very delighted to touch base and to discuss right now, and hopefully to see how we can improve the efficiency henceforward. And the next question is about the budget. Just like I introduced earlier, Bank of China Financial Leasing, we are a newcomer in the industry. Our company just established in the year of 2020, so we just passed our fourth anniversary. And last August, we just obtained the qualification to set up SPVs. It means the entry ticket to the international shipping financial lease market. So, but even though we are young, but our shareholder, the Bank of China Group, is one of the top four state-owned commercial banks in China, and also it's specialized in international business and also foreign exchange settlement, and has been a main provider in a shipping finance market ever since the 1960s. So yes, we are under pressure to expand our shipping portfolio henceforward, not only to match with the market standing of our holding, but also to be in compliance with the policy orientation from the supervision authority. And I think for the increased rate of the budget, at least in the near and medium term, would be substantial. I would say at least 20% year-on-year growth. And for the budget number in the next year, I would aim to invest around $1 billion in the shipping sector. Yes.
So although new, you've waltzed in with the big man, as I would say.
Yeah, we are trying to match with our holdings, yes.
So I'm now wearing the ship owner's hat. Is the high asset value a concern? I'll start with you. So is the current high market value?
Yes, I think, of course, because I think the differentiated advantage of the Chinese leasing compared to bank loan or other form of financing in the shipping market is all about the asset itself. And I'm not a strong believer to the sustainability of the current high asset value. So, and also we talked about the uncertainties of the impact of green technology evolution this morning during the panel. So yes, I would say I would be very cautious about the finance amount, yes.
Mr. Zhang, would you like to make a comment on the current asset values, whether this is a concern?
Thank you. We know that we have to admit that current market value of vessel is relatively high. We cannot say it will be the highest, but it is relatively high. Almost all around all kinds of vessels and have been attracting many newcomers to enter shipping business. So it's a good thing for many new leasing companies because it brings new businesses to them and also to us. Everybody is enjoying present good market. However, it should not be forgotten that shipping leasing business is a kind of high leveraged business. And its leverage is significantly higher than traditional shipping business. This is like walking on a tightrope. When the vessel's value is low, it means that you walk on a tightrope at a height of 1 meter above the floor. Even if you make a mistake for some reason, fall down, you will not be seriously injured. In contrast, when the vessel's value becomes high, it will make you walk on a tightrope at a height of 10 meters or even higher. If you make a mistake, fall down, you will be seriously injured or even die. For China leasing companies, it does not necessarily mean that there is a risk of bankruptcy, because we know that Chinese companies generally have a strong shareholder backgrounds supported by banks. So, however, if something wrong happened, their ship business development will definitely be seriously affected. So for us, we are closely monitoring market trend and placing greater emphasis on sustainable and high quality development for our shipping business. Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. Yang Yi, would you like to add anything in that respect?
Yes. In fact, during the last week, I was in Athens to have some conversation with our Greek clients. And most of our Greek clients, they share the view that because for new building vessels, the delivery normally will be scheduled in the next 3 or 4 years later. So they are really reluctant to make the decision now, because unless they can find some suitable time charter down the chain, but I think it's still very difficult because the current time charter rate is not sufficient to give some support on the return. So most of our clients has shown their reluctance. And from our perspective, because we, as Ms. Zhang just mentioned, normally the leverage for leasing company has provided is relatively high compared with the mortgage loan. And for us, we will normally do not take initiative to offer higher leverage. What I mean for higher leverage, I mean higher than maybe 80% and above. And but in the current market, in different sector like the tanker market and also the LNG gas carrier market, the asset value has already increased for more than 50% compared with the numbers in the last 3 or 4 years. For us, we will request the accelerated repayment schedule in the initial years, because for the anticipated years, we can expect a very good return, and the owners can feel comfortable to accept such kind of repayment schedule. I think it's one way to reduce our exposure to the high value asset value. Thank you.
But can I also say that there's also a balancing act here, because at the same time, you often do business with the best names, but even the tier two names now are extremely cash rich. So if you, from a balance sheet point of view, there's a bit less risk compared to maybe 10 years ago. Even if you finance at a high level, and if you leave aside whatever we've discussed about the background of the leasing companies, the shareholders, you know, there's still less risk now because of how rich the ship owners are. Anyway, that's my personal comment. But so I'd like to ask you, Charlie, because you mentioned earlier operating leases. Do you see any new developments in terms of structures, in terms of offerings that you could share here with the panelists?
Okay. You know, as my peers mentioned, because the shipping industry is at a time of like fast growth and becoming more vivid and dynamic since after the pandemic, and also driven by the European Parliament or whatever, they launched this CBAM, and they adopted many new requirements about the emission of carbon and the green of the shipping industry. So many ship owners are seeking to reform and to replace some of their existing and dated vessels. So under this background, I think many new companies, and after compare with other industrial sectors and find out shipping industry is currently one of the most attractive industry over the place. And for example, our company has just maybe paid more attention to shipping rather than aviation for recent couple of years. The thing is, not only lessor we are doing shipping business right at this moment, but also we have lots of commercial banks. Formerly, they are very prudent with the shipping industry and shipping loans. Now they are coming back to the market to compete with us. I used to say a lot to my clients that one of our, for example, our key strengths as a leasing company, we can finance their construction period, pre-delivery period. Now the banks also can. They are kind of like taking our space gradually. So I'm questioning myself and some of my peers, what we can do to offer our differentiation with the banks, the commercial banks. And I think we can, some of the answers are like we can offer higher leverage, as Mr. Zhang mentioned. And also we can offer longer tenor, even match with the total life of this vessel. And also I think we can provide our like a time charter business to our some of our clients if they need for some ships temporarily. Or, and this is what some of the banks still cannot do. I think this is, so far, this is some of my answers to you.
No, that's very interesting. That's particularly the last part that you mentioned, the time chartering, which we see it happening in the domestic market to a certain extent. If it goes global, it would be very interesting. Would you like to add anything?
I'm afraid my answer would be very brief.
Okay.
I have noticed some very flexible or even aggressive structures being devised and materialized by some of our leasing peers, but as BOC Leasing, because we are at the beginning stage of development, so our preference, for the time being at least, would be the traditional structure rather than the innovative ones, because I think the latter one would require extensive knowledge to the industry and in some cases enough manpower. So that's something we would prefer not to touch at the present stage.
Mr. Zhang, any thoughts from your end? No?
Trend of the
Any new trends, new structures, how?
Yeah, you know, maybe some people know us, and the business of CDB leasing in shipping is a bit different with our peers. And actually, we do more operation leasing than them. The portfolio under the operation leasing structure account for about 17%. So it means that less than 30% is under structure of traditional financing leasing. So for us, I don't see any new trend because the new trend is older for us. More leasing companies are trying to do operating leasing companies. It's not a new idea for us. But actually, it's some new trend is happening that more OP, I mean the operator, not the ship owner, are trying to enter in the shipping leasing shipping industry to become a ship owner with the support from leasing companies. They tend to provide some kind of equity, usually about 10% of the new building price. We know that the new building price is so high now, and leasing companies cannot make a good calculation based on current new building prices. So the OP will pay around the 10% of the new building price, and then paid it at a kind of the charter hire, so it's easier for the leasing companies to do the business. That's something new, in my opinion. So beside that, I don't think any new trend. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure if you want to add anything, Yang Yi, no?
No, I have nothing to add.
Okay. So I wanted to ask Charlie whether fixed rates, I mean, we see their movement in the States in terms of cost of funding. You've also been part of the other side in BOCOM, you know the asset management side as well. Do you think that fixed rate structures are going to be coming back into fashion?
I remember at the time we closed our first transaction with some of the renowned European liners, that was fixed rate. That was the beginning of our shipping business. So I think my understanding for this industry is because the charter hire for the ship owners are basically fixed rate. So a prudent policy for a ship owner, shipping company, is that you match your income, which is mostly a fixed rate, and with your financing, which is on the other side is our financing to ship owners. It's mainly, I think, was because the hike of Federal Reserve, that hike the SOFR up to 5.3% level, and that led all the, I think, those ship owners to take a temporary act to stay with a floating rate. And I do believe the final solution and the final way to for the ship owners is to minimize the interest rate risk to match their income side and their liability side. So what we have monitored recently after the first cut of Federal rates, September. And we are predict that there are going to be many Federal rate cuts in the following years. And we foresee the fixed rate will coming back to the market. For example, I talked to one of our important Japanese clients 5 months ago, and for some of the deals we are having discussion for floating rate at this moment, they will require for an option in the future to lock in a fixed rate. So I think the basic idea for them as a prudent company, they are requiring for a fixed return on a single project on a long run basis. And also I received a request from, for example, Singapore based client, a very important global wide company. They are, at this moment, currently, they are directly asking for a fixed rate offering from Chinese lessors. And I think the answer is positive. The fixed rate is coming back, and what I expect is when the interest rate fall below to some certain level, for example, below 4%, and at that time, I think fixed rate will be dominant again rather than floating rate. This is my point of view. Thank you.
Ihan, do you agree? Yeah.
I think the fixed rate transaction is very... a controversial topic, both internally and externally, because I find it somehow it's a mismatch of the risk coverage we as lessor are looking for, and also the expectations from the clients. So I think it's quite controversial, and I have to say, given the uncertainty of the pace and the scale of the interest rate cut, I think it's still too early to say the fixed rate transactions are back in the game. But I do notice there's an increasing interest in the fixed rate transaction, or some of them are fixed rate calculation and floating rate payment, this kind of transaction, which I think the client will reserve the flexibility of apply the swap at the time they deem fit, and also to have the similar, you know, fixed rate transaction repayment schedule. So I think for the fixed rate, now we are under a discussion with some of the clients. Most of them, they come from a underlying long-term charter. So I think, yes, given the time, maybe the fixed rate will be back.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Zhang, given CDB Leasing's model, maybe this is something that you would see more often from your side or not, the fixed rate structures?
For the financing, actually, I don't think the clients tend to do fixed rate business now, because everybody expects that the Federal Reserve will cut the rates. Yeah, so they like under this scenario, everybody tend to do floating. But for the operating lease, actually mixed. Actually, I think the mixed opinion. Nobody will know what happened in the next year. Everybody have an optimistic attitude to the business. So for us, we tend to do fixed rate for the our renewed charter party. But it's just mixed option. Not for financing, just for operating leasing.
Thank you. Yang-Yi, I'd like to ask you something different, because we've done a lot of transactions. You know, we've worked together many times, and thank you for your support and all that. But which class of asset would you not finance now? Which asset? So if they presented you with a particular asset, which one would you say no to?
Thank you for your question. I think I should answer that question in a different way. What kind of asset we would like to finance?
Yes, sure.
Yes, normally speaking, the asset bears safety and profitability and also liquidity. I think those kind of asset is the asset we prefer to finance.
So as a ship owner, the answer I'm getting is that you would basically finance everything as long as it makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else wants to respond? Any asset that you would not finance?
For this view, I think our company take a different attitude with other peers. You know, currently, until now, we don't do any crude tanker financing. Okay. Especially for VLCC. Okay.
Okay. So I'm not going to call you then. No, I'm kidding. So I don't have VLCC. I'm joking. Would you like to?
Chris has raised a tricky question and kind of setting us up.
No. So it doesn't need
Yeah, to, I would like to answer these questions on the same way like Yang Yi. We have more interest in tanker business and gas carriers, and but we have the same consideration about crude oil, and kind of during this niche market of tanker business, we are more like product oil tankers, and for gas carriers, I want to add up is Borkum has. Signed many new contract with our clients on LNG ships, and I think according to the recent information from Europe, I think LNG will probably last longer than other alternative fuel, and I think our betting is on the kind of correct way, and for other gas carrier, including ethane and other form of energy, I think the market, although the market is small, but for gas carriers, in China is some of the refinery companies is thinking of using gas to replace oil for their as their material resources, and this is some of the information we collected from China's big market. So,
would you like to add?
Yeah,
it's not compulsory. It's not.
Yeah, I think just for advertisement purpose. I think for us, the we don't have any absolute or definitive ban on specific types of vessels that we cannot finance. We are having the discussions. Some of them are very advanced. I think it covers all the mainstream merchant types of vessels, for example, bulkers, tankers, gas carriers, and container ships, and also some of the niche market, which the offshore market, I think they have shown some positive signals. But we do have some kind of minimum criteria for the, we call it leased property access. It means it has some restrictions on the ship age, the ratings, or some green technology applied in the vessels. So it's pretty much on a case-by-case basis. Yeah.
Thank you. I only have a minute and 30 seconds or so. So I'm going to ask all of you. We've seen a number of leasing companies being formed recently, the past couple of years. Do you think that there's enough room for everybody? Should I start with you because you're one of the newcomers? So if you want to answer. It's a free question.
Yeah, I think we are newcomers, but also learners in the industry. So we have the chance to learn from our pioneers, like the people who sat with me today, and also the newcomers, including ourselves, I think. So I think there's enough room because I checked the statistics. Overall, the total value of the merchant vessels is something around $1.7 trillion. But for Chinese leasing, our asset value is just $130 billion. So the potential is still huge. And I think it pretty much refers to the competitive edge. And I think this question comprises at least two parts. One is who owned the competitive edge, and the other one being when they will exhibit such edge. So I think it's just a normal market condition for the competition, and there will be a huge room for us, for the Chinese leasing companies, and with the market fundamentals rationalized, I think in the near or medium term, we'll have more and more opportunities in the market. Yeah.
Anybody else wants to add anything to that? No? No. Okay. Thank you. I'm bang on time. One thing that I'd like to add about the different leasing companies is that A, there's horses for courses, so some leasing companies look at specific credit. Then there's cap on exposure. Some leasing companies might have a limit as to how much money they can give to a particular client. So from what we've seen from our end, because we are service providers, we are on the outside, and we do see that there's enough business for everybody, I think. But thank you very, very much to all of you. Thank you. And thank you, Nico. Thank you.